today on Real Radio.
Revival, by nature, has a broad definition. Number one is, first of all, it's a divine call by God for us to repent. Revival is a divine call by God to us to repent. Or the word, you know, we say the word repent nowadays in our modern day English, we'd say change your mind.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we're in a mini-series taken from chapter 4 and verses 27 through 32. It's called The Victorious Christian. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
There's one reason why a person cannot say that they're sorry, and it's because of pride. It's just pride. Jesus wants the argument to get over with and be done with so he can start using this couple again. But so often we go like this, don't we? God, you know that I'm ready and willing to say I'm sorry. I'm just showing you, Lord, that she won't say it. So now, I know you're busy up there, God, and I'm helping you out by... No. Be reconciled one to another, says the scripture. How does that happen? By forgiving one another. But they're not worth it. You still forgive them because if you harbor, hold back that forgiveness that you're commanded to extend to them. If you hold it back, you're going to hurt your own life. It's you that you're going to be hurting. No, I don't believe it. Watch this. Forgiveness is a law of God. It's a law. It's as powerful and as true as gravity. You can say, I don't believe in gravity. I don't believe it. I can't see it. I don't smell it. And you can be standing on the cliff of the mountain up here, Mount Baldy or wherever you're at up there in the mountain. I don't believe it. And you step off that mountaintop, you know what? You're going to go down. Because the law of gravity is a law that God has ordained in the natural world. And the law that God has established regarding forgiveness is, if you don't extend it and you don't give it out and forgive that brother or that sister that sinned against you, you think you're holding all of the marbles. I'm in control because I'm not going to forgive that. I just refuse. You think you're winning. And it's a lie. It's an absolute lie. You know what happens? It begins to fester and it begins to all get all cancerous in your hearts. And you start grinding your teeth. And I never told them I was sorry. And I won't forgive them if they come and tell no word. And you're just eating yourself up. And the Lord can't talk to you. Even though they did something wrong to you, you won't forgive them. Or you won't even go ask for forgiveness. Both of you should beat a path to the door of one another to ask. Because I tell you what, fellowship with God is broken during those times. I don't care if you're Billy Graham. When Billy Graham has an argument with Ruth Graham and fellowship's been broken and things are severed, the Bible tells us, even though Billy Graham is still God's son, God says, you go reconcile with your brother, leave your altar, leave your gift at the altar, don't even talk to me until you're fixed with your brother or your sister. Then you come and do your religious thing. Just forget it. If you're an usher, if you're in the praise group or a traffic guard sound thing, ministry, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do or what you don't do. If you're a Christian, we need to be forgiving one another. And if you want to be selfish about it, hurry up and forgive them so you can get on with your life and grow. But the bottom line to forgiveness, the reason why we should ask and extend forgiveness, it's for Jesus' sake. Church, listen. You can sit there with your arms folded and turn your back away from that company or that person or that group of guys or gals or whatever the case may be, but the terrible thing is, God loves you so much, He'll just allow you to sit like that, and He is so, so jealous of your attention and of your love and His relationship with you, He'll just be quiet. And in Isaiah 59, it says that you've separated yourself from Him. And it's not good. Revival. Real quickly, listen. Revival by nature has a very broad definition. First of all, and I may go too fast for you to jot it down, maybe not. Revival by nature has a broad definition. Number one is, first of all, it's a divine call by God for us to repent. Revival is a divine call by God to us to repent. Or the word, you know, we say the word repent nowadays. In our modern day English, we'd say change your mind. It's a divine call from God to you and I, calling us to change our mind. Just change your mind. Whatever the situation is, you have yours, I have mine, and I have my position, and my heels are dug in, and God says, okay, concerning that thing, I want you to change your mind. But no, I want you to change your mind. Also, number two, it's the believer becoming aware of his own sinfulness. So it's a divine call by God to repentance. But secondly, it's the Christian becoming aware of his sinfulness. God says, I want you to repent. That's what He says to us. The next step is for us as Christians to say to ourselves and to God, yes, Lord, I am wrong about this. I need to change. Become aware of my sinfulness. I'm wrong. I'm not being like Jesus. Third is, it's the act of repentance and renewal, the act of repentance and renewal that continues. That's revival. It's not some sign out in front of the church. Revival next Sunday night. What, you know, I know it's cute by putting it up there, but the fact of the matter is, it sounds like Sunday from 3 to 9 o'clock that afternoon is a time to forgive people. It's a time to ask for forgiveness. It's a time, you see, no, it happens all the time. And if you and I are not extending forgiveness and asking for forgiveness, we will not have that renewal taking place in our lives. There'll be no revival in our lives. We'll be dried up, superficial, just existing in a very bored Christianity. God can't use us, because we're harboring these things. I'm going to read you something. I couldn't believe it. I read this week. Can you believe this? Listen to this. A man stepped into a church in Texas, and he asked to speak to the pastor. And so he met with the pastor, and he said, I'd like to get married. And the pastor said, we don't do weddings just off the cuff like that. I don't know anything about you. And he said, well, I'm a Christian. And the pastor said, yes, but is the woman that you're marrying a Christian? Oh, yes. And he says, you know, I'd really like to get to know you guys before we marry you. And he said, well, he said, actually, I want to marry my wife again. He says, you want to marry your wife again? You mean renew your vows? He said, no. This is a true story. He said, no. 30 years ago, we got in a fight, and I walked out of the house. While I was gone, she changed the lock on the door. So I went to the attorney, and I filed for a divorce, and we got a divorce. She never got married. I never got married. I was bitter and angry with her. She was bitter and angry with me, and we didn't speak to each other. We bumped into each other in a local store, started talking again, forgave one another. Now they want to get married. 30 years they were vacant from one another, alone, because of unforgiveness. And when they got the bitterness out of their hearts, and they got their senses back in their head again, they went to a pastor and they said, we want to get married. Can you imagine? You're married, you have a fight, you're divorced and single for 30 years, you make up and you get back together 30 years later. 30 years are gone. 30 years. I'll be 30 pretty soon. That's a long time. Jesus said this, jot it down if you would, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Isn't that a great question? They saw something there. As John also taught his disciples, so he said to them, when you pray, say, and by the way, this is a pattern of prayer, and note how long Jesus' prayer was, but this is a pattern for prayer. It doesn't mean you pray this every day. You pray something that incorporates these things. Say this, something like this when you pray. You say, Father, which art in heaven. Father, you're in heaven. Abba, Papa, in heaven. Puts things in perspective. Holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has sinned against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Right there in the example of how Jesus would have us to pray, that very thing is, Lord, forgive us, and we forgive those that have sinned against us. That's what the Lord would have us to do. It's a condition for fellowship. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1. Right before the book of Revelation, 1 John chapter 1. Verses 5 through 10. Listen, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, I have that circle in my Bible. I have if we say underlined. It just reminds me and it also convicts me every time I see these five if we says that we're going to see in a moment. If we say that we have fellowship with him. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. And walk in darkness, we're liars and we're not practicing the truth. But if we walk, I'd underline, if we walk, in the light as he, that is God, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, that's true if we walk in the light. But what happens if you don't walk in the light? Are your sins forgiven? Well, you're going to heaven. 1 John's written to Christians. You're going to heaven. But the point is, do you have fellowship with God? Your name can be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to go to heaven. But if you're not extending forgiveness, and if you're not repenting and walking in that state of renewal and revival, he ain't listening. He's quiet. He's not speaking. And maybe for some of us in this room, you haven't heard God speak in so long, you don't know when. It's been since he's spoken to you. The heavens have become like iron. But you know you're going to heaven, and you are going to go to heaven. But he's not talking to you anymore, because he wants some things straightened out first. So he says in verse 8, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin. Well, I'm sinless. I'm right on. I'm perfect. Well, you've just deceived yourself, and the truth's not in us, or not in you. Look at verse 9. If we confess. This is the fourth one. If we confess our sins, he will sometimes forgive us. That's not what it says. It says, if we ek homo legeo, ek homo legeo, legos, legeo is the word, homo, you know what homo is? It's the same. Ek is to say the same thing. If we say the same thing to God about our sin that he says about it, then he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That has nothing to do with losing your salvation. It has everything to do with the communication line being reestablished and made clear. we're on the brink of bombing Saddam Hussein, I guess, right? 100 more aircraft just went in there, I think, today. Everything's gearing up. We've got at least 20,000 troops there, more underway. And the Pentagon was discussing last night on CNN. Again, we're so funny. We tell them in advance. You know, here's a, what's his face? I forget what his name is, the whatever he is. Secretary of Defense. And he's saying, well, first thing we're going to do is we're going to go after their communication facilities. So, now, most people at war, you can tell that too, because they're somewhat decent about their war activity, you know. But you don't tell Saddam Hussein that, because what he did is he got a bunch of people together, a bunch of civilians, and took them over to the communication sites, made them into human shields. The point is, you go after their communication. It doesn't matter if you have the greatest defense system in the world, you knock out their communication and you got them. When our communication is broken because of sin in our lives, and we won't forgive our brother, or we won't extend to him forgiveness if he wants to come to us, or we to him, and the situation is still at odds, and it's hurting the heart of Jesus Christ, communication is broken with God. You can justify your situation all you want. God's not listening until it's made right. Man, this is so true. I got to tell you something real personal. I'm sure Lisa just loves when we get close to like Wednesdays and Sundays and stuff, because I notice in our own life that when we have a rough time or whatever, or things are tough and our relationship's stretched, all I have to do, I mean, I can be just, I'm not going to forgive her, God. I'll show you. I'm going to have, you know. The moment I go to start to prepare for a message, and I mean, it doesn't take a couple hours. I mean, you can ask her. I'll open up my Bible, and I'll turn to the page that I'm supposed to be studying, and that's it. I honestly, God's my judge, I can't get past the second word in the first verse. It won't work. And I got to call her up. Lisa. Quick, let's forgive one another so God can start talking to me. Sunday's coming. quick. Hey, it's horrible. It's terrible. All the wives are saying, honey, get involved in ministry. It does work, though. If you want to hear from him anyway, you got to keep the line open. We need to be people that are forgiving, or else we're going to be in a Christian coma the rest of our days. And I thought about this. We will be bitter if we do not forgive. We will certainly become better if we do. And I want to give you some examples, or really, I'll give you a couple, but mainly this one that really blessed me today is in Genesis 33. It's about Jacob and Esau. What a messed up brother-sibling relationship that was. Jacob was an absolute ripoff. Can you imagine having Jacob as your brother? He's robbing you blind. Esau, look over there. You know, this thing about the venison, you know, and disguises himself, and, you know, don't think that was like some Jacob's first conniving thought. Remember, he was conniving in the womb. Esau, they're inside there with a little miner's hats on, you know, inside mommy's tummy. Esau, look! Jacob the heel catcher, the supplanter. Jacob. He'd have been like the most insanely awesome car salesman you've ever seen. If Jacob lived today, he'd be Donald Trump. Somebody like that. Just to the top! Ted Turner. No, not Ted Turner. Jacob would be somebody better than that. the top. That's Jacob. Rips off his brother, devastates the family. Esau, angry and bitter. Jacob, bitter and upset. They separate for years. And in Genesis chapter 33, it says, but Esau ran to meet him. When they were coming together, Jacob finally, all of his conniving catches up. And finally, Jacob's thinking, Esau's coming? He's going to kill me. All those years. Think about it now. Jacob's got a gazillion camels, a gazillion sheep, goats, a zillion people following with him. He is the big kahuna of the Jacob club. He's it. They got the crew in the back. We belong to Jacob's club. We belong to Jacob's club. And he's, you know, patriot. I'm Jacob. And news comes. Esau's coming. And he's just... Why? He left the relationship in a very bitter and angry way. Slams the door, takes off, it's over between them. Years later, the bitterness and grief is consuming Jacob. You know it's been consuming him by his actions. But also, what about Esau? Look at Esau. In Genesis 33:4 says, but Esau ran to Jacob and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and he wept. Or they wept, actually. Both of them cried. Esau, a lot of, you know, Esau gets a bum rap. You know that? He sold his birthright. I think he learned something after that. Watch out. Don't stick your finger out Jacob so hard. It's Jake, I'm sorry, Esau. It's Esau that ran up to Jacob, and Jacob's thinking he's going to pull a knife any second. I'm sure this is a trick. And he falls on Jacob's neck, and he's kissing his brother, and he's crying. There's no word here in that verse about repentance. There doesn't have to be. Repentance is built into the story. You don't read any word of repentance regarding the prodigal son, do you? You know why? The whole story is about repentance. That's what it's all about. And forgiveness being extended. And then you read Genesis 33 and the two or three chapters after that, and there's a wonderful relationship with Jacob and Esau, and it's precious. In fact, Jacob is so happy to keep his life, he wants to be blessing Esau. Esau says, oh, no, no, let me bless you. And they're like those two chipmunks, Chip and Dale. Oh, no, no, you first. Oh, no, you first. No, after you. No, 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 after you. And it's like sickening, these two patriarchs, like, after you, no, after you. These people, these million people sitting there going, man, what's going on here? Hey, guys. So Christian, Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook another man's offense.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Victorious Christian. It's actually a mini-series taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 27 through 32. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Now, remember to set the dates aside. February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It's the Southern California Prophecy Conference that takes place then here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And maybe you've thought, well, I'd love to go, but resources are a bit tight. Well, we've taken that into consideration as well. And so after prayer and contemplation, we've taken the unprecedented step of completely waiving the registration fee. Once again, there is no longer a registration fee for the Southern California Prophecy Conference this year. To learn more about the event in February, visit us at SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.